Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
If you missed our previous program, you got to catch it. We began a conversation about what's really going on with the United Nations, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What's going on with our president? Why does he feel it's his responsibility to defend Islam across the world from every negative stereotype, no matter what it was? Why is he embracing something that's really, it's only 3 million today. It wasn't even that many, but 3 million Muslims in America, which is, America's about freedom of worship. As long as you submit to the laws and or submit to the Constitution, then, you know, you obviously can be a part of America. But there's 300 something million folks in America. But all of a sudden, this narrative that's promoted and radical Islam is an issue that our president won't even mention. And he puts members of the Muslim Brotherhood reportedly on the advisory board for Homeland Security. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Simultaneously, we're seeing things take place, and it's like, what's happening? It's a question I'm just asking. Is our president running for president? Is President Barack Obama running for president of the world? Does he want to be the president of the United Nations? I mean, just recently, a speech that he gave. Let's just go right to the speech he just gave. He just gave the speech in United Nations, which is in New York, just so people don't know about that. It's in New York City. And he said specifically that America should surrender, we should surrender our sovereignty, that we should submit to other governments other than our own. And he said this is for our security. Let's just start with that. Let's go back and look what just happened at the United Nations. This is our leader. Imagine, well, before you see this, let's put context on. So all of a sudden, you're being robbed, and you look out the window of your house, and you see a bad person out there, and the person's got a gun, and he's threatening you. And you look over at your husband, and your husband says, "That's a bad guy," right? And then the husband looks at the wife and says, "You know, we should open the door and see what they actually have to offer us. Maybe we should submit to what they have out there." It's like, they want to rob us. And now our president is saying, and the wife would say, your job is to protect our home, not to let a bad guy come into our home. And the job of the president of the United States is to protect Americans, to protect America, to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which means people inside of our country who want to harm it. Let's go to the United Nations just the other day and see what our president said. Take a look.
But I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to international rules, over the long term enhances our security.
Yes, he said, giving up some freedoms will enhance our security. I know we're several generations into freedom, and we think freedom's always been around, but freedom is a unique thing that exists in the world. God, freedom comes from God. Remember when Israel was free up under God, and they said, you know what, we want a king like everybody else. We want to have be ruled by a king. And God said, are you sure? Do you really want this? And they said, yes, we see what they're going there. They got the government's taking care of everything. They don't even have to talk to you anymore, God. We want a king like everybody else. And Samuel, the prophet, he said, he was upset. He's like, they're rejecting me. And God says, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. When we reject freedom up under God, we're rejecting God, and God gives us the king. He'll give us a dictator. He'll put a tyrant over us. It'll be a rough time. If we actually want to leave God and say we want somebody to rule over us, God will put us under somebody. And think about this. For all the years that the world's existed, almost probably 98% of it's been under some sort of form of rule like that, with the exception of being up under God. America was an experiment that began with the American Revolution that said, we don't want to be up under a king anymore. But America only works when we're up under the king, up under God. It's a Judeo-Christian nation that was built on the foundation that only works if we acknowledge that we can be free under God. If not, we have to have a ruler to rule over us. And so our president has been telling folks, you need to go to the United Nations. You need to go to the United Nations. We'll work it out at the United Nations. He made the statement at the United Nations that the future does not belong to those who actually speak negatively against, basically blaspheming the prophet of Islam, Muhammad. I mean, he said this to the world. And so now he says it's his job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype, no matter where it is. When he said his first speech at Cairo University in Egypt, and the people that were there at that speech were members of the Muslim Brotherhood who, at that time, President Mubarak, the president of Egypt, outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood from even being in Egypt and being active. Our president invites the Muslim Brotherhood to come in and to participate at that Cairo speech where he says, I will defend Islam. And it wasn't much longer. By the way, the president of Egypt didn't even show up at that particular meeting. And it wasn't much longer when we saw the president removed and replaced. And guess what he was replaced with? He's replaced by a new president, and his name was Morsi. And he was the member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Our president, who invited the Muslim Brotherhood in to be at the Cairo speech, painted a narrative and a picture talking about the positive traits of Islam, that he will defend Islam, and Morsi becomes the president of Egypt. And all of a sudden, immediately, persecution happened to Christians. Jews were being ran out and persecuted. People were put in servitude and everything that the Quran says was going on. And the people of Egypt rose up after marching on the streets of an America in Pennsylvania Avenue, and they were going, what? Muslim and Christian alike were marching and protesting against our president, going, what have you done to our country? You put a dictator, you put a member of the Muslim Brotherhood over our country. And the military rose up in Egypt, and they took President Morsi out, and they put in President Sisi, who's in now over Egypt. That was our hands. America did that. Our leader, our president did that. And they removed him. They began to just eradicate the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. It was dealing with those that just harshly with the Egyptians, while our president's embracing the Muslim Brotherhood. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann says that our president has eradicated, had FBI, CIA, and all the particular agencies like that, had them remove any mention of Islam in the records that mentions that they could actually be an adversary of our country. And when you look, I want you to see, if you look at the United Nations has an unstoppable voting block. It's very important because we're going to end up in Cuba, 90 miles off the coast of America, where reportedly Russia's beginning to set up some bases there again, you know, allegedly. But also our president's opened the door for trade there, and we've had a prophetic vision of what's taking place and what we're seeing, some Cuban and Russian aircraft flying over our country. We got to wake up if it's 90 miles away. I want you to take a look. This is an unstoppable voting block that exists inside the United Nations. I want to be able to remind you of this because our president says to Israel, take it to the United Nations. He tells America, take it to the United Nations. He just said, we need to surrender our freedoms over to the United Nations. And it's like, if you submit to the United Nations, then Christianity and Judaism will be under great, you think it's bad now, the pressure will be just, persecution will be horrific. But let's go back and look at the unstoppable voting block.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN, because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, Zionism is a form of racism. Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
It's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine? Okay, so it's an unstoppable voting bloc. Cuba It began in Cuba in 1975, and that's where our president has gone there now. A man who was mentored by a communist mentor, whose father was reportedly communist, and that's his choice that, that's what he wants to be. But as the president of the United States, we're not communists yet. We didn't have to wake up. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand or watch firsthand as President Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, speak to the United Nations, where the unstoppable voting bloc is, and saying, listen, why are you so silent when these things are going on? Well, America's silent and the nations are silent as we're seeing things push against Christians and push against Jews. We need to wake up. Imagine King David standing there saying, listen, who are these uncircumcised Philistines coming against the armies of God? Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing take place. And the United Nations is where the nations unite to come together to hear what other nations are saying. And King David, obviously it's not King David, but the leader that Israel chose to lead them at this time, which is an amazing man, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he's saying, you're silent, but you have to understand this things that are going on, Israel's like that close to problems. It's always been that close to problems. It's America who will suffer the consequences and the world. Israel's already been surrounded. Israel's always had enemies coming against them. They've always had to protect themselves. They have a wall around Israel. As a matter of fact, at the APEC speech, look exactly all these missiles that you're hearing talked about in Iran, and now we talk about North Korea. Listen to what Prime Minister Netanyahu says to us about the reality of who those missiles are for.
And the important point to make is this: Iran's missiles can already reach Israel. So those ICBMs that they're building, they're not intended for us. You remember that beer commercial? This bud's for you? Well, when you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
About it. Israel's always been surrounded. Its widest point is like 60, 70 miles wide. It's us. The enemy, the adversary of God, whose son is Jesus Christ, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he wants to do away with Israel. His followers want to do away with Israel and wants to do away with America. Why? Because America and Israel have been blessed. Mm-hmm. We're blessed. We're strong because God blessed us. The song, God Bless America. But America's turning their backs on God. And if we turn our backs on God, He'll turn his back on us. You'd be surprised. You take so much confidence sometimes in your ability to do things. But as you grow and you realize, I couldn't tie my shoes if God didn't touch me. And that's exactly what God has been protecting us and been blessing us. And all these missiles, yes, can you believe that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton negotiated these things to take place? And Secretary of State John Kerry threatened Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with an intifada, an uprising, if they didn't submit to what was going on at the time, and that we negotiated a deal to be able to enable Iran, the enemy of America, the enemy of Israel, and the enemy of freedom everywhere, who wrote this book about how to destroy Israel that he just held up the United Nations. We just gave them billions of dollars, gave them the right to produce nuclear weapons, but now nuclear development and centrifuges and all those different things. And it's like, these guys are like blowing up mock carriers, which is aircraft carriers, mm-hmm. big Navy ships. They're blowing them up. And it's like, you think about this. It's so obvious that people don't think it's obvious because they're thinking like, it couldn't be because it's so obvious. But these signs are obvious because it takes that kind of obvious warning from God to say, listen, I'm fashioning a storm against you. There is a storm coming, and you can see the storm and the watchman on the wall, just like you heard Pastor John Kilpatrick say in the beginning of this program. I mean, you got to begin to tell your folks. Forget about your 401k. I'm telling you, overnight, look at Venezuela. The dollar could be worthless overnight. They're showing up at grocery stores with a month's worth of wages in Colombia to be able to buy some food because they have no food left, which was a socialism, communism type government that crashed because it doesn't work, even though they have probably the greatest oil reserves in the world. They're showing up with a month's worth of wages. In other words, all their income for a month They show up at the store. They put all their groceries in their shopping buggies. They pull up to the cashier in Colombia, and the cashier has to explain to them, all your month's income will only buy 2 days worth of groceries. You're going to have to put the rest of these groceries back. They're finding out by a cashier that their economy crashed. They don't even know, being under such a form of socialism and communism. And now the government, right, is actually demanding labor from their citizens. 2 days a month, they're basically slave labor. You got to go out and work. This is the closest thing to slavery, the reports are, they're saying, that's ever happened in their particular country. It comes when we turn our backs on God. They turn to socialism. They turn to, you know, big government, and the government just can't be God. God will give it to you for a small season, but you're not going to be able to swallow it when it comes to you. And we're seeing that take place right now. We're looking at Cuba. Right now in Cuba, what's taking place with our president opening up the borders again to Israel in regards to we can trade with them. It's been, you know, locked up for all these years. Think about what happened 53 years ago in 1960s with President John F. Kennedy. There were submarines off the coast between Florida and Cuba. That's only 90-mile stretch with nuclear weapons on them, missiles. And they were going to fire those missiles into America. They were so close. They were listening to the radio of that day, and they're hearing what America is doing for their entertainment and the news that are going on. And they lost communication with their Russian leader. And so they got wind of it, and back then they couldn't know where the subs were at, so they started dropping these 55-gallon bombs, you know, basically drums down in the half, exploding them underwater, trying to make the subs come up. And they were just dropping, hoping they would find it. The sub operator, Russian sub operator, didn't even know if they were under attack or not. And the rule was, once communications cut off with the Kremlin, with Russia, fire your missiles. So he didn't have communications. We were egging them on by dropping these things. Mm-hmm. It's like less than 90 miles off our coast. And America was almost destroyed by nuclear bombs coming off a submarine in the 60s. And now the reports are the Russians are coming back now that our president has opened up free borders again with Cuba. And communism, that's what they're communists. They hate. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this. Watch the president, President Raul Castro, the president of Cuba. Watch what he does when the president opens these walls up and begins to shake hands with him. He takes our own president's hand and he raises it. That's, understand, when you see what's happening to our president, that's happening to America. God's going, look at how weak you've become, I've allowed you to become because you have not yet repented. Take a look at this. This is the president of Cuba, Raul Castro, talking about, he's reaching out just to shake hands with him, our president is, and take a look at this. It's just shocking.
There is social media blitz over this awkward moment between the president and Cuban strongman Raul Castro. Castro raised the president's arm just as Obama was about to shake his hand. The result, this limp-wristed moment.
So you're going to come back from this break, and we're going to hear this prophetic word that God has given about Russia, about Cuba, about America's, it's just amazing. It's just like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But it's happening. A storm is being fashioned. You know, you can go to ez12.org. God does speak. And God is speaking, shouting to us. And this is how merciful he is, by the way. He's just going, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to give you a spanking, America. I don't want this trouble to happen. But you know what? Right now, people are just being dogmatic and saying, ah, that's not true. That's not going to happen. Take down the Ten Commandments. Pull prayer out of the schools. Just do whatever you want to do.
While it's happening.
And it's while it's happening. While it's happening.
Yeah.
And you're looking at blinded minds and stupid type minds where they're just not even functioning in the context of that. When we get back, we're going to talk about what God is showing prophetically about what's taking place, could take place if it doesn't get stopped. And our prayer and repentance will stop. These are amazing days when you're watching it, what's taking place. And I'm glad we can see it, because imagine this happening and us not seeing it. The question is, you know, if you're seeing it, what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what does God want from me? And it's like, you. I remember asking that question years ago. You know, I had my businesses and I was helping out with Pastor John Kilpatrick at that time with Brownsville Assembly of God in ministry, and doing a lot of different things, you know, just busy about life and doing jobs and a couple companies, and I was sliding God in and, you know, knocking some things out, helping, and I'm like, what else could you be doing, right? I'm in my office and I could feel just God pressuring me, and right now you're sensing any pressure that's on America. And I walked over to my office and I'm just like, God, what do you want from me anyway? And it just blew me away. You know what he said? You. It never crossed my mind that he wanted all my talents. He wanted everything that I had just to give myself to him. Mm-hmm. And as a businessman, I was always, you know, thinking about bottom line and how this works and to be creative and be an entrepreneurial. But God wanted me. And you know what God wants? He doesn't just want me. He wants you. God wants you. I don't know. Can you bring this camera right here? Come out. God wants you. He wants you. He died for you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. This is going to be minimum force necessary. This is what John Paul Jackson asked the Lord. He said, how long are these things going to continue to happen? What? Food trucks being robbed, mm-hmm. riots in the streets, horrific storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and financial crisis. And all. They're going to keep building and building and get like contractions getting closer and closer until we do one thing, if we do it, which is humble ourselves and cry out, God! And he goes, finally.
Yeah.
He wants to position us in a place where we just say, God, we're wrong, forgive us. And he goes, forgiven. That's all he wants. But we have to acknowledge our sin. We have to own it. We have to be able to say, God, we see now, we read your word. This is what happened. King Josiah, a king that God says specifically was not, there never was a king as good as this king. You know what he did? He found the word of God. For the longest time, the religious folks held the word of God buried back in the temple, and God laid on this young king's heart to go clean up the house of God, basically, the temple of God. And when that was happening, the people who had the word, who did not share the word with the people, ran out of there and said, look what we found. We found the scriptures. We found the word. And so King Josiah, king of Israel, had his secretary read that scripture. When he read the scripture, you know what he did? He understood God at that one moment. Now, something didn't just happen with God. He just discovered what was going on with God. He said, God is angry with us. You can love someone and be angry with them. God loves you, but he is angry right now where we're at. And he ripped his clothes. He ripped his clothes and he said, oh, I've sinned. And he began to repent personally. He led leadership to repent, the people, leaders of the country, because he's a king. And he led the whole nation to repent. And God said there was never been a king greater than that. Well, in America, Christians in America, if you look out of one out of eight Christians have any kind of biblical worldview of the world as it is, which means they have no Bible knowledge in the context of that. 97% or 91%, 81%? 81% of Christians that have Bibles in America don't even pick them up. Don't even pick them up. And the ones that actually pick it up and read it out of that 19%, only 3% actually does what it is. We're not going to be like King Josiah if we don't stand up and say, you know what? We are Josiah. This is a government by the people and for the people. Washington, D.C. is not our problem. 530 folks, really, out of 300 million? Do we really believe 530 elected officials in Washington, D.C. is our problem when we're 300 and something million strong? And the Constitution says that we voted to put them in there, so if we voted to put them in, we can vote to take them out. We've got to find out what God tells us to do. We've got to get in the Word like Josiah did. But what happens when we do that, it shines a light on our life.
Yeah.
We start realizing, you know, God called me to live a new Christian life, but I have not been living this new Christian life. I've been telling everybody that my old life's gone and my new life has come. But the truth is, I'm still living like I was before I was saved. I got to go back. I got to turn back to God. And God will receive that. You can turn back to them. But understand, we are like moments away, it looks like, from something seriously taking place, not from one moment at a time or one thing at a time. It looks like North Korea. God has been showing us some things about North Korea, how they're going to come and impact our inside of America, to our own president's surprise, because he is playing with fire. But I really believe this, that, you know, and this is one thing the Lord has told us, that, you know, he's being set up. There's other factors out there, and there's things going on, and You know, you can choose to be president, but quite often, according to his pastor, mm-hmm. he said he has to do.
He's got to be selected.
He got selected before he was elected, so he has to do what the people who selected him to do. And it looks like they wanted to organize the whole world, like George Soros was talking about. You know, who needs borders?
Borders, the easing of down.
We need to ease down of the borders. You know, and now you have a presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, is talking about. Specifically about a borderless hemisphere, and so that really, and whose daughter got married in George Soros's daughter's house, mm-hmm. him and their close. And by the way, all the candidates that are running right now, they're all friends. They all know each other. Mm-hmm. The answer is not some political figure. The answer is God. We got to turn to God. And so when you're looking at here, I want you to see this firsthand again how significant Cuba is. And how Cuba, 1975, could not do anything this big country called America. So the communism, which is Cuba, merged with the Muslim nations, the Islamic nations, and they formed inside the United Nations an unstoppable voting bloc. And when they did that, now they're set up to minimalize America. Isn't it amazing that our president just opened the doors to what started in 1975? Let's take a look again.
Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field. Because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States.
So you're looking at that, you know, just a brief look at that. Our president is saying specifically that I want to carry everything to the United Nations. Why? Because for mm-hmm. some reason, your best friends are Islamic. What you can do, that's totally cool. But you can't throw the America away. You can't just say, let's just tear down the borders. Let's do away with the Constitution. Let's do away with the First Amendment. Let's give the internet away, as we talked about mm-hmm. in our last program. Our president just 2 years ago signed the internet away. And October the 1st was the day that it was being turned over, the ICANN division of the internet, which was located, is located, and was located in America. But he's saying, you know, we need to submit to foreign rules. We need to get, it's part of our, you know, we need to give up some of our sovereignty that you heard in the beginning of this program. Notice how gradual it's taken. It's just a gradual
little
thing,
little by little,
which God is going, look, you know, look, this is what's going on. What are you going to do with this? And when I think about this, I think about how close Cuba is. And I want you to see this because you'll see how close Cuba is. Let's take a Google Maps, let's go there, and let's kind of zoom in. It's 90 miles off the coast of Florida. Take a look at this. You're seeing it now. You just zoom in a little bit and you're seeing, look at that, it's Florida, it's Panama, Florida, it's Miami. You're looking at Key West, and right there from Havana and Key West, you're looking at 90 miles. 90 miles. And imagine that, having an issue with a country that close. It's closer mm-hmm. than your grandmother's house. I mean, that's close. Our president opened relationships with a communist country who holds his hand up like a limp wrist mm-hmm. thing. And I think that was symbolic before our God is saying, you know, America, you're so weak. And that's not probably what he wanted to do. It could have been, I don't know. But I don't think that's what he wanted to do. I think he wanted to just shake his hand. And this communist leader wanted to prove that, hey, we're ruling over you finally. Yeah. He grabs his arm and he lifts it up over his head. And next thing you know, America is like a limp wristed, weak nation. And we've been weakened more and more. The reports are that our Navy as weak as it was in World War II, that our military is weak, and we're partnering with people that hate America, who hate the Constitution, who hate Jesus Christ, who hate Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, these are God haters. Mm-hmm. These are God haters, and that the church had to sneak around. All these years that they were under oppression in Cuba, they had to sneak around because you would go to jail for worshiping mm-hmm. freely. You could not worship God in any buildings anywhere in Cuba. You actually had to go off, and the church grew underground, but in regards to publicly, you could not worship God. Why are they tearing the crosses down in China? Why are they ripping the crosses off the buildings and imprisoning Christians? Why is Russia saying you can no longer evangelize and you got to actually ask permission before you you cannot, it's illegal to post anything on Facebook or social media about your belief or your faith? It's blanketing the whole world. Satan's going, you will not worship God. The reality's coming. This is the reality is. The day that you said yes to Jesus Christ is the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of religion going on. There's been a lot of things going on that people call Christianity. But the truth is, he says, unless we pick up our cross and deny ourselves, we're not going to have any part of him. Mm-hmm. He said, we'll be treated no differently than the teacher, and he's being the teacher and us being the student. He said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Persecution will come in this life. But cheer up, I've overcome this life. It's time for us to quit negotiating with darkness and evil and some political understanding and become loyal again to our King, to King Jesus Christ. Stand with Israel. Stand with the human race. Mm-hmm. Stand for freedom and cry out to God. Listen, 90 miles away. This is the prophecy that was given by the Lord in April of 2016 was this particular prophetic man, Brett Holderbaum, in this prophetic dream, he was in Miami. And he was downtown Miami, 90 miles off the coast of Cuba. Aircraft started flying over the buildings and weaving in and out of the buildings, several hundred of them. Mm-hmm. As I looked and I saw the aircraft, it had Russian and Cuban markings on them. They were flying in low to avoid the radars. And our president has partnered with them. Are you ready to turn back to God? Are we ready to make right decisions? We have a presidential election coming up. We got to cry out to God. God, give us godly leadership. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, Lord, we just ask you to stop this attack on our nation. Lord, forgive us for our sins, God. Change our leadership to people who fear you, who know your voice, who follow you, God, who doesn't apologize for Israel, apologize for you, Father God. We just pray, Lord, that you would just cleanse our land from the sin. Forgive us, Lord, where we've done wrong towards you and done wrong towards others. God, just purge Washington, D.C. of those who are trying to purge America of the Constitution and of our relationship with you and the acknowledgement of you, God. And I pray, Lord, for the enemies of God and the enemies of our Constitution, that you would just remove them from our country, that they don't want to be here. There's plenty of other countries that they can go to. God, have mercy on our nation. Protect your people, God. Forgive us for partnering with people who refuse to partner with you, with nations and countries. God, end the United Nations in this evil plot that's coming against our countries, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, have mercy on us, God. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.